This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. The Word of God for the people of God.
So I've been teased for years now that this day after the Sunday after Christmas is Tony's Sunday, because basically, usually, almost everyone else on staff is gone. So I end up being the one who preaches on this Sunday, and it's been that way for years. And so I really enjoy doing that, though, because we're usually looking to the new year and things like that, and often I even give a New Year's resolution-ish type thing. And, well, you might be able to find that in here, but I just really felt like God was wanting me to talk about change. And that we have change, and we're in a year, we have experienced a couple of years so much change, we're probably almost pros at it. Maybe I don't even need to preach on it, because maybe you guys could tell me how to deal with change, but we have it. So, but there is something about change, I think, as we even look at this, is I was going to start off, and I debated, and I changed last night, otherwise I might even had some marbles, which it still sort of fits, but I was going to try and explain some particle physics to everyone. And I wouldn't be able to do justice to explaining it, and probably the only person who would get it and he'd tell me I'm wrong is David Coho. But about change and how things happen. But I have a couple of examples. One, if we were to throw marbles out on the ground here, and I took another one and I threw it through there, what are the chances that it's every marble it hits, it's going to change, correct? Every single thing that happens in that, with that path of the marble, it's going to change. Even the carpet versus something else, there's change no matter what. And I'll tell you, life is going to bring change no matter what. As soon as we encounter life, we start having changes. As soon as life begins, we start encountering changes. And the thing is I'm going to be going through some, just looking at different examples from the Bible, but the reality is every example in the Bible, every thing that's been recorded is change. Because as soon as one person talks to another, there's change. As soon as you have people come up to get slowed down because there's a big lake in the way, a big Red Sea in the way. There's change. There's change every step of the way. And another example I was just using too, the marble one, I just thought of it earlier, but it's traffic. You know, I drive for a living. It's traffic. Even someone changing lanes just changes what you do. In the same way, every interaction, everything that we happen in our life, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, brings change. We might not notice it, but change is everywhere. So, thing is we need to learn to be changeable in times of change. So we're going to look at several people experience change in the Bible and look at a few different things. So we're going to look at the fact that when change comes, we need to make it about our calling and not about us. What God has called us to do and not about us. When change comes, God often calls us to the radical, but we should also expect those around us to treat us like a radical. When change comes, sometimes our role seems minor, but it might change the world. A little side note, maybe we might not ever know it until we know. We might not know the impact until later. When change comes, we need to put our trust in God, even when it doesn't seem like He is looking out for us. When change comes, it often reveals where we really are. Use these opportunities to be changeable. And when change comes, God wants more than promises. He wants all of you. So some did it well. We're going to mostly look at people who maybe adjusted to change well. And then we're going to look at a couple people that didn't adjust to change that well. And hopefully learn from them also. One of the biggest differences in those who did well and those who didn't is those who put their faith, hope, and trust in God rather than whatever. You could fill in the blank with hundreds of different things. They persevered. They put their faith, hope, and trust in God in the times of change, and they persevered. But when we start putting it in other places, that's when it just starts falling apart, starts to crumble. So some did it well, some did not. I'm just going to reread, just knowing where in the context of change. I'm going to reread the scripture Kelly just read out of 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." Again, those who put their faith, hope, and trust in God, in Jesus Christ, in His self-saving work, those are the people that persevere. So what I like about this is, unlike if you turn on the TV and watch, not all of them, there's some people that don't do this, but you turn on TV or watch YouTube videos of preachers, is it's not like all of a sudden if you give enough money or you do this or that, your whole life is going to be blessed and everything's good. This makes it pretty clear that, guess what? Our bodies are dying. Our spirits, the positive thing, our spirits are being renewed every day. But there's troubles, big and small, and there's things. But we need to put our faith and hope in the right place. We need to look to the right place. So I like that about this scripture, because it's really the example of the Bible. I find no one, and I didn't go through and look at every character in the Bible, but I spent quite a bit of time just running through my mind every different Bible story, every different character or whatever you want to say in the Bible, and I couldn't find one where it's just like God came and everything was good. Everything just went well. If you know the person, let me know. I don't know the person. The closest I could come is Solomon, but even then, Solomon had troubles, you know? Lots of troubles. But yeah, I thought, Solomon, he became wealthy, he had this, had that, but there were troubles. So it's not necessarily, when change comes, it's not necessarily going to be awesome. Sometimes it's trying. So first, well, I just want to look at David. David came from a shepherd, just a lowly shepherd, the youngest, which is very important in that culture, where you were, the youngest son, the one that would get the least of everything. It would be the oldest son. And when the prophet came and said, one of your sons is going to be anointed king, and they go, here's all the sons, and they, nope, it's not him, nope, it's not him, it's not him, it's not him. And they're like, he's like, are you sure you don't have another son? And they're like, well, we have our youngest. He's out in the field. We'll bring him in. And then they bring him, and then immediately the prophet knows and just anoints him as king. And that sounds great. A young man being anointed king sounds like a great life, right? Yeah. Sounds like immediately it's great. The thing is, David went on to follow that calling. He went on to follow that calling. He didn't make it about himself. He went on to follow that calling. He could have gone around and said, told everyone, I'm going to be king, I'm going to be king, made it about himself, but he made it about the calling. So we know many things. He faced a giant. I mean, even if you knew that God was coming, I mean, I guarantee you, we think we often read the story as if like David just came without any fear and just total, I guarantee you, there was a little bit of something there. You just don't go up against somebody, you know, four times your size or whatever it was. You just don't do that without having some sort of something. That he had to step into his calling. He had to live it. The thing is also, he even then went to work for the king that he was going to replace. Now, how many of us would do that? Just go and be a lowly servant. We know that God has anointed us to take that position, but we're just going to serve that person faithfully. Even when they are failing and we know we could do better, in this day and age, most of us wouldn't put up with that. We wouldn't take the time to follow the calling and let God do what he wants. We'd say, God, where are you? How come you're not having, you told me I was going to have this. How come I don't have it now? But we need to be able to allow God to change us. We need to be changeable when God wants to change. When he's giving us a different direction, we need to be willing to go, whatever that is. And it gets to the point where Saul even tries to kill David. In multiple different ways and times. You go on and on. I think many of us know that, but I'll just tell you, the thing is it wasn't just an immediate thing. David had to be willing to be changed. He had to be willing to change with what God was doing. Go from being a shepherd to going and serving a king, a bad king that lowly, and even being tried to kill by the guy. So I just want to tell you that if you focus on what God is calling you to do rather than your circumstances, would that make a difference? Would it make a difference? So what's God called you to do? Now all of a sudden, maybe your work situation changes. What am I called to do? And I just have to tell you, without getting into stuff, but the job I have besides here at the church is really, there's just lots of problems. And I'm not trying to badmouth it. It's a great job in many ways. There's lots of problems there, and it can drag me down. But then I just have to realize that what brings me back in line is when I just say, well, no, God, you have obviously put me here. And I could go on to that, but it became apparent within 6 months. Well, actually, I'll tell you, so I'm a nobody, a brand new guy. They don't know me from anybody. And I'm now doing mostly training. And within 10 days, I already had like half the drivers coming to me and asking me questions about laws and what to do about this and how do you check this on a truck. I'm like, you don't even know that I know. So it was obviously, there are just things all along. God has me there for a purpose. And when I look at that, that's what, all those other troubles just sort of disappear. We need to make it about our calling and not about us. What has God called us to do? And there's many relationships that I've built there that have been productive even for the kingdom. So it's just been really good. But I have to focus on that. When changes come, we need to make it about our calling and not about us. So another person, Paul. Or Saul, however you want to look at in the story, we have, he goes from a persecutor to a preacher. Fancy, a couple little fancy things there. Persecutor to a preacher. And I had another one about, I forget what I put for David. From a shepherd to a king. Persecutor to a preacher. I couldn't come up with all of them, but there are a few of them I was like, oh yeah, that has a ring to it. So he went from a persecutor to a preacher. The thing about him is when change comes, God often calls us to be radical. So, and we should expect those around us to treat us like a radical. If we don't do that, then if God's calling radical change, people are going to treat you like a radical. And we need to change with that and just move on and deal with it. So, you know, Paul has this amazing personal account with Jesus. I mean, he goes from chasing down Christians and possibly even being involved with some being put to death, but at least being imprisoned and punished. And he goes from that to being the guy who writes more the New Testament than anyone else, who's instrumental in the spreading of the gospel outside of that region. I mean, we're talking Amazing guy. He goes from one to the other. God came and changed radically. But if we look at Acts 9:23, it says, "Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him." So he had radical change. And what happened? Well, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him away by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. So I'm letting you know that you might have some things. If you God gets a hold of you and makes a radical change, I'm just going to let you know there's going to be some probably radical things that might happen. And you might have stories to tell years later, but I'll tell you what, when people are trying to kill you, you're not usually going, "Oh yeah, look, this is a great story." You're afraid for your life. You're afraid for your life. I tell you, as much as I even felt like God might protect me, I had a time in my early 20s where there were people in the car that were shooting multiple guns, chasing my brother and I all over Hillsboro and Beaverton and stuff. Whole nother story. I'll tell you what, I was in fear for my life, even though there was a fear there. There was something, even though I did have a sense that, well, it was more like, well, God, if you have a purpose for me, you're going to get us out of this. But yeah, if you get radical, you might have radical things happen. The thing about Saul that I really want to put here, because most of these people are like, I've picked these amazing figures we all know. I mean, King David and Saul and, and I'm going to be talking about Joseph here in a minute. We're just some amazing people. But what I like about this thing about Saul being converted to Saul, is that there's another little hero in there that's often missed. And a guy named Ananias. Now, there's another Ananias I'll be talking about later. But this guy, he came. And I'll just tell you that when change comes, sometimes our roles seem minor, but they might change the world. So I'm going to read out of Acts 9:13 and just listen to what Ananias did. 13 through 16. "Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man being Saul. How much harm has he done your saints in Jerusalem? And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" So thing is this guy Ananias, he's the one who goes and prays for Saul. In a sense, even though had a personal encounter with Jesus, but he's the one who prayed with him, restored his sight, and I'm imagining probably had a little bit of influence and talked to him a little about who this Jesus was. We don't see that there. But this guy Ananias, so I'm going to tell you, you might think that your little thing, God just tells you to go pray for somebody. You might think that it's small, but I'll tell you what, I think that some of those small things, when you get to heaven, when you're sitting with Jesus, he's going to tell you, you know that time when you went and just walked up and gave someone a hug? You know that they were going to commit suicide and they didn't change that, and that changed the things? Well, we don't know. So don't minimize the things. Be willing to be changeable in times of change, even when it's small things. Again, change is going to happen every time we interact with anybody. Every interaction we have will bring change. So let's take these times and be changeable. Let's go with what the Spirit's telling us. Let's make an impact for this community and this world. Sometimes it might even be the small thing. And you just don't know. You just don't know. So, to me, that's probably the most powerful one in the midst of all this. You know, is that one right there. Just a little thing can bring amazing things. But I want to look at Joseph, because Joseph, when we look at Joseph, we can see that when changes come, we need to put our trust in God, even when it seems like he's not looking out for us. Now, we know, hopefully, if you don't know, it's a great read. Just look up Joseph's life. It's a great read. I'll tell you, I can read that one over and over and over again. But I have a little cheat sheet, even though I have it in my head, but I do have a little cheat graph here. See the ups and downs. And there's a lot more that went on, but he goes from being a favorite son, the favored son, to being sold into slavery by his brothers because they were jealous. So he gets sold into slavery. That looks like that's some change that didn't sound good, does it? Then he becomes the household manager of Potiphar, one of the key leaders in the government there. And then some bad stuff happens. He gets thrown into prison. Gets falsely accused of stuff and gets thrown into prison. He spends time there. He sort of gets elevated a little bit up to sort of managing stuff in the prison. But then he's still back in prison. And then he gets elevated. Again, a very short version, but he gets elevated to being second in command of the kingdom there. And what's more amazing about that is that here he does this, but he came and he ended up saving the Jewish people, that line of people. There was famine in the land where they were living, and because he was there, they were able to move and come into Egypt, get supplies, and save things. So amazing stuff. But I want to tell you that I'm sure that several times in his life, he's looking and going like, oh, it doesn't look like God's on my side. I'm in prison again. I'm being falsely accused again. They're wanting to kill me. They're wanting to do this. But God, if we stick with it, if we keep our eyes on him, again, back to that scripture, we keep our eyes on God, on Jesus Christ, rather than our circumstances, God can do amazing things through us. So, now with that, as we come towards the end, I'll just look at two people, and I think we can learn a lot from them. But one, and this is these are sort of the negatives for people who didn't respond well. But Ananias and Sapphira, I just want to say that when changes come, it often reveals where we really are. We may think that we're doing, man, I have my spiritual life's doing good. My everything, my life, however, is doing good, and then change happens. Often reveals where we really are. Let's use these opportunities to be changeable. So Ananias and Sapphira had an opportunity to share the blessing that God had given them. They were blessed with land. Other people were selling land and giving all the money just to the church as a whole. They're living together in one and sharing everything. And then they go and sell some land and give, well, some of the money. And not all of it. They keep some for themselves. And I think it's obvious that they were trying to present it as if they gave the whole thing. Again, when change comes, just be aware. We often see where we really are. They had an opportunity. They saw where they really are. They wanted to take credit for doing something they didn't do. And you know the rest of the story. God struck him down dead. So not necessarily telling you that you need to worry about that every day because you make one little mistake. But I'll tell you, when we have those times, when change comes, it's time to look and see, how am I really doing? How am I really doing? Because we can just go through life and feel like we're doing good, can't we? We have everything figured out. Maybe our finances are finally in order, so it looks like we're doing good, and we're able to do this, and we're doing everything else. Life's fine, and then one little hiccup happens, like maybe COVID-19, and now you're out of work. And now you're out of work. Now we see who you really are. You, it's actually, I'm making that like an accusation, but you get to see who you really are in those times. Just if you can remember that, take note of that when change comes. just a great time. So we can use that opportunity, those opportunities to be changeable. And then lastly, Judas Iscariot. I'm sure, you know, it's a downfall there. Most of us know about, but the thing there is that when changes come, God wants more than promises. He wants all of you. Judas said to Jesus' face, "I won't betray you." But he did. Now, we could argue that maybe that was just part of the whole prophecy stuff, but reality is, no matter how you look at that, there's a lesson to be learned here, that we can't just make promises. We can't just speak with our words. And by the way, I'm telling you, we can be really good at that. Really good at that. I was reading a thing that somebody did, and it was mainly a, sort of a slap at churches. But somebody did a study where they had church people listen to people speak who were not talking about it, but all they did, they threw in the right key words and the right rhythms and the right, you know, just like whatever they're used to and from their background. And people walked away feeling like they had some experience. What they were talking about, there was nothing. It was almost like one of these run-on sentences that really means nothing. I don't know if you ever read them. It keeps sounding like they're going to say something, and they don't. And that's what they did. But people walked away feeling like they were blessed because it was just the right words. It's just the right words and the right rhythm and the right order, and it sounded like something. Let's not be that. Let's not be like Judas and say something and not follow through. Our actions are more important than what we say out of our mouths. We need to make sure we don't do that. So when change comes, God wants more than promises. He wants all of you. I just want to end on that real thought when it comes to change. Are you willing to give all of yourself? Are you willing to not just say, "Lord, I worship you," but do it in every way? "Lord, I'll serve you." Are you willing to do the things? We've been having a huge, in at least my mind, a big push to really say, hey, let's be, as Kelly calls this small group, doers of the word. Let's do the things, not just speak them. But where are you when it comes to change? What's God calling you to change? And those online too, you know, you could feel free to comment. You can always give us a call. We would love to hear from you, a call or an email. You know, what's God calling you to change? And are we going to respond properly to these things? Are we going to be changeable? Are we going to fight change? By the way, it's going to happen either way. But what choices are we going to make in that? Also, again, those here in person or those online, you know, if you've never truly said, "Lord, I'm giving all of myself to you," there's no better time than now. There really isn't. There's no better time than right now. I mean, I do believe in taking time to think about it, but if that's what God's putting on your heart right now, I'd just say, just commit that to him right now. Just say, "God, I am going to commit everything to you. I want that ultimate change, to be forgiven for everything and to spend eternity with you and have you in control of my life in these situations that can seem tough." And if that's you, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to pray with you about that, talk to you more, again, online, or if you're here in person, let us know. And as always, you need prayer, come on up, raise a hand, go sit down next to someone else, ask them to pray for you. We really want to see God change your life in a powerful way, to transform you into who he's called you to be. Lord, I just pray right now for every heart, for every person listening, Lord, that you would help them to whatever changes are coming ahead for them, that you would just help them just to make those right choices and to just be ready to mold and go the way and change direction maybe to where you want to go when there's choices. Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us the peace that transcends all understanding, even in the midst of chaos. Come and move upon us. Amen.